This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning, kia ora. Welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0, independent community media. And is Britain a democracy?
A flawed one, I think.
A flawed democracy.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, yes. Yes, the UK elections.
Yeah.
Well, we'll turn over to you, Mick, since you've got
I had to go a bit more disconnected,
you know.
Well, I keep a keen interest because I've got family over there, and, but I went round the fridge yesterday because the result was coming in, and I thought, I have to share this moment of commiseration because even though if it had been the old-style Labour, I would have been punching the air going, yes. But, of course, it's new Labour all over again. It's another episode like a Tony Blair type.
We have that fear.
Yeah, because now Labour can do whatever it likes.
Yeah.
It's got an overwhelming majority. I was trying to find the actual results, but most of the papers today still only had the projected figures.
I've sort of got it. So they got 410 seats, 33.9% of the vote. The Conservatives got 119 seats, 23.7% of the vote. So the Conservatives did actually, they thought they were going to wipe the floor with them, but the old traditional blue areas, some of them still came in.
Lib Dems did quite well,
got 71 seats with 12.3% of the vote.
Greens got four, didn't they?
This has slightly changed. Reform? Oh, Nigel Farage. They have now got five MPs with 14.something% of the vote.
Quite high, isn't it?
High percent of the vote for very little MPs. And I think there's five independents.
Yeah.
And then there's the Welsh Party.
Oh, Plaid Cymru.
Yeah. SNP's got a hammered.
Yeah.
Same thing, been a long time as the majority party in Westminster, etc., 17 years. So they went from 48 seats to seven or eight.
Like
maybe changing.
But I guess if people are interested and want to get the facts, at the beginning of the week, I went to PAmedia.com/blogs/election fact check, blah, blah, blah. And that gave all the projections, and there was 635 Conservative candidates, Labour 631, Lib Dems fielded 630, Greens fielded 629 candidates, up from 497 to 19. Reform UK and put 609, Workers' Party, George Galloway, 152, and Independents were up 400. From 442 in 2019, they went up to 422 this year. And a few independents got through.
Yeah, five to date. All on a pro-Palestine, need a ceasefire, need to end the war type tickets.
It's just a pity the opposition isn't in a better state to keep the new government on
check.
Because it got overwhelming majority.
Goes back. We've got a first past the post system where the Labour got 410 seats with a third of the vote.
Yeah, doesn't make sense, eh?
It's terrible. It's a terrible
system.
And even Nigel Farage, he got 14% of the vote, and I don't know his party, but they only had, now they've got five seats.
Yeah,
For something like what I hear is something like basically a million votes to get one person into Parliament or something. Labour only needed 20,000 or 30,000 to get a seat.
Yeah.
It's so out of whack.
Yeah. And a few politicians say, look, the system's unfair. And again, why don't they have proportional representation? And again, once they keep banging on about Italy being an example of them. Some of European countries use a proportional representation. We do.
All of Europe uses it apart from Belarus.
Yeah.
And that has a proportional
system. Stable.
Yeah.
So this is just I just don't understand why the Brits won't go for proportional representation.
Well, I know why. Because
status quo.
Status quo wins from having, and let's face it, they've just passed the baton between a bad Conservative government to a slightly less blue.
You mean a Tory in a red suit?
Yeah, I believe you're right. Yeah, well, we think he might shock us all, but it doesn't sound like it.
No, not on what's been said.
Yeah. And they did that.
The system's deck, stacked.
Labour did that deliberately. They knew, let's face it, we go back to voting. The numbers were, they're looking at about just under 60% turnout of registered voters.
Mm.
So that's, and then there's about, they say there's about, they think there's about 10 million, oh, sorry, 7 to 8 million people who are old enough to vote or whatever, who aren't registered.
It's so high, isn't it?
You add that to the that lack of people who didn't vote.
Yeah.
So half the population didn't vote.
Yeah, there seems to be a current trend, isn't it?
Yeah,
seems to be a current trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
not just the UK, France.
Yeah,
and Brian, they've got runoffs this weekend. The lower voter turnout expected.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's something, and that I think the comment is all very well to say, oh, well, this is good and this is how how the UK does it. But eventually people might start to question on a minute. You got 410 seats and you got a third of the vote. Another party got 14%.
I don't think people think that far ahead.
No, it's too hard for them.
Maybe they don't.
Because the thing keeps going on and on and on.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And, so, and as you say, you've got a revolving door. One lot goes out, another lot comes in. No one goes, stop, hang on, we've had these people before. It doesn't seem to be any questioning. No.
Yes.
It's bizarre. I mean, you had the same problem here.
It's like the dead hamster in the wheel.
Yeah. Gets a bit smelly.
Yeah.
that too.
But I still think if you have proportional, and we're lucky, in my opinion, we're lucky to have.
It's not perfect. It's better.
So we all sit here and we can all vote how we like.
Yeah.
And the chances are, unless we vote for a complete party that doesn't reach the threshold, which I think is still too high at 5% or whatever it is, should come down to 3% maybe.
Probably 4%.
But, you know, our votes count. Over there, and then they go, oh, then the status quo people don't care that people don't vote. Because they might vote against their interests. And I'm not voting because they don't know anything about it, or they've just been staunch. But you just hand the power to the people who have the power.
And unfortunately, it's all those people in those deprived areas.
What do you say about it? So, we'll see where it does. Starmer will probably offer stability.
Yeah. One plus is the possibility that you might foster closer relations with the EU in terms of customer exchange, you know, goods and services, because that's been an absolute
I think you'll see that. I think you'll see this. Although they're not, you know, the political move.
They won't go Brexit, but they'll come up with, as you, I think the phrase you used was a Clayton's agreement.
Yeah, so you'll be, that won't be in the EU.
They'll come to an agreement as far as administering.
But for all sense of purpose, they will be in, but they'll have to keep the populists from being saved, because Nigel Farage and his friends will have a go at it if they just said, oh, we want to go back into the EU.
But
they'll just say, well, we're not going into the EU, but we'll just be like we were in the old days.
But he still keeps banging on about zero immigration, which is
that's
BS.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Yeah. I mean, as we said before, you need immigrants to keep the system ticking over, because, as I say, most Europeans aren't replacing themselves quick enough. They need immigrants to come in to
do the work,
to pay the taxes and do the work.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So anyway, what do you think, Craig?
What do I think? I think I've always, when I've listened to Navarro Media, I always put in my comment, you need really proportional representation here.
I put that in. I was listening to them today, and I put that in.
I said, be like
New Zealand. Yeah. It does work. And it's fair.
Weren't you guys saying that Navarro were banging on about the Italian example?
Today they were. They were having that, so I put it in.
It's unbelievable.
They're still not sure of it because they use Italy as
that shouldn't be the benchmark.
No. Which makes, I'm a bit disappointed in that regard.
Can I just give you an example? It's not exactly perfect, but if they had proportional voting in the UK yesterday, This is the number how it would have worked out. Labor would have ended up with 219 seats. The Tories, Conservatives, would have ended up with 154 seats. Reform would have ended up with 93 seats. Ooh. The Lib Dems would have ended up with 79 seats. So they were very close to where they were.
Yeah.
The Greens would have ended up with 44 seats and the Scottish National Party with 16. And it shows you the difference in the makeup.
Yeah.
But that would be proportionally far more fairer. Whether you like them or not.
It's more representative.
Yeah.
You'd have to do deals.
Yeah, which
is what
part of politics is. Yeah.
What's wrong with doing a deal rather than arrogance?
They're doing it anyway.
No,
you got arrogance now.
Yeah, you have arrogance under. You can have it even in proportional, but I think there's far more accountability to the public in proportion. In proportional
representation,
unless you get a situation like we've got a government who's trying to push stuff through under emergency.
Sure, and
undemocratic.
Yeah,
but then they should be made to pay for that.
They
can't come election if everyone participates.
And that's why I'm still a fan of. See, the UK has 5-year gaps between votes. Yeah, that's awfully long,
It's great if it's a good government.
But our one is so. If you're a good government and you have a voting system every 3 years, it'll get back in.
Yeah,
there's no issues
based on performance.
Maybe look at 4 years would be a better idea.
Yeah, but why? Let's face it, if we believe in democracy and it's working, I just think you could go to 4 years, it probably wouldn't change things too much. But
I guess it would depend on the quality of the parties at the time and how they perform.
But 5 years is definitely too long.
What's the total of seats they have in that election?
In the UK?
650, I think it is.
They would have to, under a proportional representation model, have to amalgamate a number of those seats for that to get people through. Like we have on our list, don't we? We get people on our list.
Yeah, they'd have to do somehow. Which maybe, let's face it, they seem to have an awful lot of MPs. But, I know it's population-based.
Yeah, that's...
But, you imagine trying to be the whip and... For Labour, and then we saw it with Conservatives, you've got how many? They've got 410 people to try and keep an eye on, to try and stop them having
shagging
the secretary or bloody claiming too much from them. It's a difficulty in itself.
But it can be done. I mean, look, Germany.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And other countries in Europe, they seem to cope quite well.
The danger has happened is that instead of... and that guy, he's not very popular, and he's a Tory, and he survived. There was a scrap between the Labour and Reform down the south of England. What's down the bottom there? Anyway, he's a hyphenated name, I think of it the same.
Not Rees-Mogg.
No, no.
He got shagged.
But he said the reality is, he said, MPs seem to get elected and then they... Disappear. Don't put a priority onto their constituent work. They just go off to Westminster and have a nice time and do a little bit back in the constituency. He said, we should be constituency first, Parliament second.
Well, we've got that script over here.
Of course we have.
Look at our last MP. Well, the two we've got now.
Yeah.
And that's replicated across the country as far as access to... elected representative,
seeing them in the street picking up rubbish, or wheeling someone in a wheelchair. It'd be nice to see.
Yeah, just how where their offices are situated in the city and upstairs.
And that's the independents that won in the UK. They all said it was the fact their constituents told them they never see their MP. And we're Jeremy Corbyn, of course, But everyone knows who he is. Yeah. He's in the community.
Mm.
I watched the Navarra News article about him. They were focusing on Islington North, and when Aaron, what's his name, was walking through the crowd or walking through the street, he came across Jeremy Corbyn. He was basically walking just normally down the street, probably just campaigning, say hello, and all the people who knew him. Yeah. And people shouting from the window, hello. And he would say, oh, no, yeah, how sounds that?
He knew some of the constituents.
Well, if personally, you ride on your bike or you walk to your
thing. He's been MP for, was it, 40 years or something?
Yeah. 40 years, yeah.
So he's invested a lot of time, literally, and contact with his constituents.
And he is a community MP.
Mm.
You know, that's the bottom line. He's a community organiser.
Yeah.
Been in the community.
And people know him and go to him.
Yeah. So
that's old style.
Yeah.
MPs.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But we have to give it to Starmer that he's whether their system we like it or not, they're in. He'll just have to see. We'll have to see how they get on. But I think the Brits will be quite happy with him as long as he's quiet.
Because he represents stability, I guess. After the scandal riddled Tory government
party.
The people who voted. Or they will be happy. But not the other half.
Well, we know 50% didn't vote.
So will they be happy?
So these people, most of the people who voted are doing okay. Or all right, they're not. They're in the system.
Took part. But it's this current trend where numbers are dropping, you know, as far as people participating. It just doesn't bode well for democracy.
No.
Not at all. It's happening here too.
The other thing, to comment, if they did, because we're talking about those figures, if they were proportional, of course, if they did have a proportional system, people would often vote differently.
Yeah.
Like here, because often you...
Well, I do too. I mean,
You look at your chances of whose chances are what quite differently.
Good.
Jonathan Pye says great they've gone, but what are we going to get? So,
it's a story. It's the next part of the tale. What else you got there?
We've launched straight into politics. We haven't looked at your almanac for today.
Oh, we'll do that first. Yes, that's a good idea. Yeah, but I think the election was quite it's relevant to us.
And let's face it. I was thinking of this on the way over. Most of us can fock a papa to England or the UK.
Yeah, I've got
including Māori.
Yeah, I've got family over there, so I'm kind of interested in what
goes on. I doubt if you'd find a Māori in New Zealand, who whether they want to or not, doesn't fock a papa to someone in the UK.
Back in generations.
So there is a connection. We have a political system, although we're proportional, it's still very much based on the Governor-General and the landed gentry and all that. But so the Westminster-type style. Given the nod from the Queen or the King is how we do it. So it is relevant to us. And so there's still an awful lot of people, like my grandparents, some of them came from the UK, so it's not that far removed.
And you talk about where you fock a papa too, within Britain, like if you did your family tree, or I come from Devon, Somerset, Hampshire.
Yeah.
Over by Essex, Cumbria, Scotland.
And there's a lot of us like that.
Mick would be the same. You may have come from originally. You came from London, but you may have family all over the British Isles, sort of thing.
Oh, Suffolk, Northumberland.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, yeah.
Geordie country. Geordie country.
Geordie.
Yeah, we found out. This is a hard case. I found out. So I was going through my desk the other day, sorting out stuff, shelf stuff. Found a thing that my mum's obviously written out, and I found out. Hello, one of my ancestors is Dutch. So great delight in telling my daughter Jenny, because she's her partner's Dutch, and I said, just brace yourself. But guess what? You're part Dutch.
I was looking to a family tree, just extending it on the weekend, and some of my forebearers, they settled in the United States.
Right.
Yeah.
And I found this particular a couple of interesting ones. Some of them are Mormons.
Mm. Right.
And one of them was a victim of murder. There was a certificate in the on his record, murdered, skull was crushed. quite a good description, wasn't it?
Okay. No doubt there, then.
Quite final. But that person, he was actually born in New Zealand.
Right.
Yeah. of July,
yep.
1934. 800 workers from two plantations in Cuba, Trinidad, demonstrated in front of the warden's office complaining at the lack of work. Violence erupted when police attempted to keep protesters away from businesses and workers responded by looting. Unrest spread to other plantations. Two bosses were attacked and one company headquarters was stoned and set on fire. British colonial police arrested 12 demonstrators.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say what the outcome was for the plantation workers.
Given the track record, I don't suppose it was very good.
Betting man would bet the overseer, wouldn't they?
Given that it was British colonial police. I was surprised that only 12 were arrested.
Mm.
Didn't talk about anybody being killed. 1992, pioneering black trans activist and sex worker Marsha P. Johnson's body was found in the Hudson River. She's most famous for participating in the Cornwall Rebellion, which sparked a global movement for LGBT liberation. But she was also spent years doing radical organisation on the ground. She took part in the Gay Liberation Front and the demonstration on the anniversary of the beginning of the Stonewall Riots, which became Pride. She also co-founded Street Transvestites Action Revolutionary, or STAR for short, with her friend Latina trans activist Sylvia Rivera. STAR was a radical campaigning group that also provided housing and support for gay, gender non-conforming and trans youth. Later she threw herself into AIDS activism, becoming an organizer in AU Enact Up. All the while, Johnson engaged in survival sex work and was constantly harassed by police, being arrested over 100 times. Police ruled her death a suicide, despite a massive head wound.
Mm-hmm.
Friends and activists insisted that Johnson wasn't suicidal and highlighted evidence that she may have been murdered. In late 2012, the NYPD reopened the case as a possible homicide. It remains unsolved.
That's a surprise.
Surprise on that front. Yeah.
Well, I remember to mention, something that Chris Bishop, the current Minister of Houses, made an announcement he's going to flood New Zealand with houses.
I saw that.
This sounds remarkably like a bit like Phil Twyford, you know, promising 100,000 houses.
It's in the paper today, an article on it.
Right.
What I wrote it down as...
But where are these houses going to come from? These won't be state houses, will it? These will be private houses?
Well, it smells a bit of privatisation in there.
If it was social housing, the government of the day would have to acquire the land to build that. But it'd be horrendously expensive.
There was an article in the news, and all I could describe it was as Bishop wants we the people to live in little boxes.
Mm.
Because they were talking about these measurements for these, and I'm sure I heard 30, but it didn't look like 30 to me. It looked like quite small and little boxes.
So intensification of housing. More people in the smaller area.
If you read the article.
Oh, that has all the hallmarks of modern day slum ghetto type.
Yeah. Or Grenfell.
Yeah, Grenfell.
Yes.
It seems to be this sort of a pan party approach on housing. So instead of sort of going against the sort of we need more houses, I think they've all realised that to handle the population we have to have housing.
It is
an allotment for the National Party.
And you're not a politician.
Yeah.
And you're not a sociologist. You've come up with this idea yourself that populations need houses.
Well, they have. Themselves. Yeah.
And there might be hope for the rest of us.
Yeah, it's an article on the Herald today. It was quite interesting. Yeah.
Spinning on that, because that leads up to this Brightline changes. This was in Tuesday's Times, and the claim is that these Brightline changes, that's where they can, an owner can sell their property on. It used to be up to 10 years.
Yeah.
They're going to drop it down to 5. For new buildings. It's been scaled back to 2 years.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're claiming this will make more houses available.
Yeah, so the idea you can buy a house buy a spare house.
This is somewhat saying he claims this will help increase the supply of residential property and put downward pressure on rent.
Yeah.
I don't see how that adds up.
Well, the idea is that the landlord can he can buy a house and rent it for 2 years and then flog it, make a capital gain, and doesn't have to pay any tax back.
Well, what about the people who want to rent the house?
They're gone.
How's that going to make
They're going to buy it off them.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's the dream. Yeah, that's quite a wet one.
The fact that if you wanted to buy it, you might not get a mortgage because of the interest rates.
Well, you probably haven't saved your deposit because you were so busy paying the rent. So there's a few impediments involved. It still doesn't add up that to get a mortgage, you won't be able to afford to pay it. Yeah.
Given the banks have put caps on those sorts of things too, so this doesn't add up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well...
Is it just me or I'm just being cynical?
You've been cynical as well, but it doesn't...
There's something a bit slimy behind it.
The only thing that could happen is if the state becomes a bit like the old state housing scheme where you would come in and the state would give you the mortgage to get into these houses.
But you're talking sort of like a collective approach.
Yeah, which is hard to believe from the National Party and Friends.
I refuse to believe from the National Party or their coalition partners.
Yeah, going back to what I thought about the apartment, those boxes.
Yeah.
There were people who weren't championing it at all. They were saying we could be turning to the bad old days of before. Of those types of buildings.
Yeah, I still think there's a big, widen the scope of the discussion, is for people like my age, et cetera, there'd be far more, and there's a few of them being built where there's small units on sections that they've only one bedroom, but they have a shower and toilet and kitchen and a veranda, and they have a common area, but single-storied, because no point having multi-storied when you're old. Even if there is...
Yeah, if the lift fails, yeah.
Well, we saw that, talking about Grenfell in the UK.
So the immediate question that comes to mind, what sort of materials would those houses be built of?
Yeah. Well, you'd have to ask the Chinese supplier, or the New Zealand suppliers buying them cheap off China, I suppose.
Because I imagine the developers will go for the cheap option as far as materials, but it doesn't really mean it's going to bode well for the people who are going to rent them. Like, it could be a fire trap, materials that are combustible and all that sort of stuff.
Well, you'd like to turn it into a Roman candle,
But as long as we have to look at it, because, say, the housing crisis is for single people who are over 60,
Because they're talking about bringing more people in.
Yeah.
He wants more people to come here.
But you come in with a suitcase of money and you haven't got a suitcase of money, who's gonna miss out?
Hmm.
The person who's lived there all their lives or whatever, or the person that's got a suitcase of money and comes in from overseas?
And doesn't pay tax?
They might do.
Might.
But, at the end of the day, it's the vulnerable who miss out.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't get this idea they're going to flood New Zealand with houses.
Yeah, well, the fast track thing was to free up land and free up consent and all that sort of stuff. Fast tracking things, yeah. Finding spare land.
Mm. Yeah. And the government of the day has got to buy that land.
From themselves or from their cronies.
So they'll get it at market rates.
Yeah, of course. Probably a bit more usually if there's a deal.
Now you're being cynical.
Once you hear the government's involved in buying something, the price usually goes up.
Yeah, we know that from when Kind Order were purchasing houses from the general pool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It went up.
I can understand the cynicism, and sometimes I just want to walk away from it because I just think they're a pack of so-and-sos, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's always been something stink about the way that the current government has done with their work around Kind Order.
Hmm.
There was that sort of sweetheart exchange of ideas between English and Bishop over this review into Kind Order and its debt.
Hmm.
And now we're seeing that the CEO was replaced by somebody else, but the new CEO probably basically in a way did the fingers at Luxon by saying, he appreciated the work of the former CEO because I think he was the person who resigned was given the blowtorch by National, particularly Bishop.
Yeah, well, they're looking for someone to blame.
And the report that into Kind Order was sold as independent. Yeah. Well, that was questionable because they used English. Well,
so when they got independent people, did they get anyone on the inquiry board? Any of them actually rent a house or actually?
No, I don't think they do. Yeah. But the thing with English's review was that he didn't talk to anybody from Kainaura.
That's right. Yeah.
Which to me is not independent at all.
And did they go and talk to tenants?
They would approach everyone with a vested interest in.
Yeah, including the tenants.
Including,
who,
but nothing like that was done.
Yeah,
I think they were whitewashing sort of.
Yeah, it was sort of just a fine fault. We'll do it this way.
And it was those people to blame.
Use a business model, possible privatisation. And
that's it. That's the depth of their investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's the whole thing that stunk about me was when they sold it as an independent report.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then other members of the Kainaura board have resigned. They've been replaced by others. But according to what we know is that those who have resigned are going to closely scrutinise, or former group, closely scrutinise the activities of the government in relation to Kainaura.
Yeah. Right. So what's going to happen is they'll sell off anything that's feasibly quite got some money to be made, etc. And the real hard tenants, etc., will be, well, that'll still be the government's responsibility, will it? I'm sure.
Don't know. Don't like that sort of combo of national and state housing, because the word sold comes into the interview.
Into the equation, eh?
Yeah,
the other thing I caught my eye was Mitchell's being warned about his over youth crime targets. This is on Herald on Wednesday. And he said that officials have warned the minister that the success of his flagship youth crime reduction target relied on too many factors beyond the control of the police. And it says that ministerial briefing papers provided on the official information that show that Mitchell was told 2 months ago, before the announcement, that if he wanted to achieve those targets, significant more prevention work is required, including cross-sector mechanisms such as the Oranga Tamariki Action Plan. So the police supports a broad measure on total offending by children offending, but it's the means, you know, like they said that many levers to reduce offending or prevent first-time offenders sits outside of police's purview.
And
these agencies like health, education, their environment, and everything else.
Secure, warm housing that you don't have to get kicked out of 3 times a year.
Spokesman Ginny Anderson pointed out that Oranga Tamariki, the organisation being flagged as a key partner in this whole thing, has lost more than 400 roles in the current government.
And the CEO's taking sick leave.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And there's an extra police of a need, and that's a big if. Aren't the sole answer. It's got to be turning back some of the demand to other departments and freeing the police up to do what police should be doing, you know, traditional police work, you know.
Yeah. Is traditional police work in Kaikauri taking patches of people?
Well, I don't think she's implying that. I think she's suggesting it.
Okay.
Because this spins off to the boot camp that spins, because it's all to do with youth crime, and defence staff running a celebrated military-based course have suffered serious mental distress, even some of them suicidal, as they struggle to deal with violent and at-risk
young
youths.
People.
The six-week limited service volunteer programme, cited as the blueprint of National's proposed boot camp, promises a fresh start in life for unemployed 18 to 24-year-olds. But a briefing paper from the New Zealand Defence Force under the Official Information Act warns of major problems with the course to a range of complex challenges.
Yeah.
And plus, this also comes into the fact that they've cut back on staff from the Ministry of Social Development, who's a partner to this.
Yeah.
And they're facing cutbacks in staff numbers. So it's...
Yeah,
and of course, no surprises. Defence Minister Judith Collins told the RNZ that she has been advised that the work was continuing and she was not worried about the state of the programme.
Stick her in there then.
Mm. Yeah, so.
Because you'll get some serious young offenders in that lot.
They've got serious mental health issues issues. And the staff are expected to deal with this.
6 weeks is not going to fix that.
No, you have to.
You're talking about long term investment.
Yeah.
They're trying to do this on a shoestring band aid approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, boot camps on a band aid.
Yeah.
No, and it's proven that they don't work.
Well, to me, you have to treat it like an apprenticeship. And say you have some
apprenticeship. You're talking what, 2 years,
three to four years? Yeah, no, okay. The first year, 2 years might be really intensive. One
and
on one
mentoring.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
It's
all
expense and time.
What has not been addressed, and because it's too hard, is that they're not addressing
the cause
issues of all those these problems that come into this.
Yeah. They're not they're sort of band-aid approach, and they're not looking at the social causes.
Yeah.
Which has been brought about by policies or
Well, a lot of stuff. It's quite complex.
Yeah. But they try and gloss over the problem and say, "Oh, no, just no." And they're not seriously looking at the causes of crime.
Yeah.
And they're these sort of people who don't believe there's any correlation between poverty and crime.
And yet the stats are, middle class areas, we're talking class because classes exist. Middle class areas don't have nearly the same issues.
No, it's all in deprived areas.
Yeah. Very so much. Isn't that telling us something?
Yeah. It's telling us a lot. It's told us a lot for years.
Yeah, and it has told us.
But
a lot
they,
for years.
They blinkered. They don't want to go there because it's time, money, which they don't want to spend.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
They don't want to do anything meaningful.
If
they do, they don't want to spend. I think even if they go, well, we need to do something, then they look at the total figures, the cost, and they go, we'll just get a few more policemen cheaper, you know?
And
a few more jails, and that'll do.
Well, as Matthew Hurton said during the week, he knows how to settle. You've crime built, just build more courts.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Arm the police.
That's not a solution.
And I thought, well, hang on a minute, the police are already armed. They're not openly carrying firearms, but they've got access to firearms.
Yeah, we know that.
We don't want a US-type mentality creeping into the police force where they shoot first and then ask questions.
Yeah, and possibly get charged with murder.
So on a slightly better note, on Monday, the candidates confirmed for the Māori Ward by-election. Eight candidates are standing in the Hamilton City Council's Kirikiri Roa Māori Ward by election.
Okay.
And there's Jared Gallagher, Horiana Henderson, Maria Te Okuha Hauata, how do you pronounce that? Ricky Manarangi, Danielle Marks, Donna Pukeri Phillips, Marianne Ruri, and Oli Te Ua.
Okay.
Yeah, so nominations for the by-election closed on June 11th, and voting will open on Tuesday the 16th.
Some of those names are familiar.
Yeah, and voting packs will be delivered between 16th of July and the
24th. Yeah.
So voters for the Māori Ward, is that only open to Māori?
Yeah.
On the electorate.
Well, I hope they participate.
Yeah.
I definitely will.
Yeah, good on you.
Yeah, good because
on you,
bro. If the opponents of these Māori wards will just this is a waste of time. Money being the operative word.
Yeah.
We don't need Māori wards. So I hope people who've got the eligibility to vote participate.
Yeah, the only thing that will defend that, like the Māori wards, is fact is that even our so-called European or our mainstream, the voting turnout's so poor.
But something like this, I think it's really important that.
Yeah.
If Māori want to have representation in the council, then the locals need to participate and put someone in.
Well, if they get a good voter turnout, it's a strong mandate for Māori wards, whereas if you only get 7% vote or something...
Then the opponents go,
why are we having Māori wards?
Well, it's time, money.
Yeah.
If I receive the pack, we have some information.
Okay.
So 16th July, that's what? No, that's next week or the week after?
Week after, I think.
Yeah.
So that's when they close.
That's when they start.
Voting starts on the
16th. Have you got a pack yet?
16th and the 24th.
No, it won't be
yet. They don't come out until...
The 16th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Between the 16th and the
24th. And you've got like a two-week period return your ballot.
Yeah, it closes on the 7th of August.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, you better bring it in. We'll have a survey.
We'll have a shufti.
It'll be interesting to see some of these candidates' track records like and whether people think they're worth.
Well, there's a couple of names that have stood before.
Yeah.
One I've heard speak, and I think, well, What a big turn off.
Right. Yeah.
And Hoodiana Henderson stood in the East Ward.
Yes, in the mainstream.
Yeah.
But let's face it, anyone puts your name forward, fair enough. That's democracy.
And it's good that
that's
the council, and it's good that they're holding this election.
It's called democracy in action, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the reality, you know. And look, we saw in the UK, there was people in funny uniforms and... Not just the candidates. There were some of the people who the returning officers were all dressed up and old. They had feather hats on and like old style British ring the bell. There was quite a few of them dressed up.
Oh, some of them like to get dressed up.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought, oh my God, it's not just Mr. Tin Hat Man and Mr.
Count Binface
and all that. There was some of these so-called officials. A lot of the
return officers are conservative.
I thought there was a little spitch of narcissism in there or something.
Oh, there'd be a little bit of that as well. They love the idea of drama. They would see themselves as traditionists, keeping the tradition of the return officer being decked out like
an idiot. Just on that, I see Liz Truss. They were waiting for her results, and they held up the announcement because she wasn't there.
Oh, this is a surprise.
Then the audience started slow clapping, and the poor old official, he wasn't dressed up in all silly stuff.
But suit tie.
She finally turned up, but it was certainly an embarrassment.
Typical.
Yeah.
She probably got lost, couldn't find the room.
Yeah, they always say that.
Yeah, because she hasn't done any constituency work, has it?
Yeah.
I think, Mr. Count Binface, he wouldn't have liked it if he'd come across a magnet or something, wouldn't he?
Well, I think the plastic.
Is he plastic? Oh, yeah. So he'd be looking. Interesting. Have you noticed that they've changed the Hamilton Press to Waikato News?
I think I have.
Did you receive a copy?
Yeah, I did. I didn't read it.
But there's not much interest in it anyway. Was an unscientific poll conducted by the paper into that move by Mackindoe and friends about having citywide elections and a reduction in there? And they said, the majority of the people supported that. Yeah.
Way?
Yeah, 90 people. Yeah. And that's why I said unscientific poll.
So
they're still pushing for a citywide ward and reduced number of councillors, are they?
Yeah. Well, that's what the support. They actually supported what Mackindoe and friends were doing.
No.
I would like a community councillors,
based on 90 people.
Yeah.
So I said.
Biggest belief.
I basically made a comment and said, that's just unscientific, and parked it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if 90 times 10, then we might be having a bit of an issue about it.
I'll probably raise its face again.
I had a good reason. I found another reason for I'm glad I don't live in the United States.
Yeah.
Just a week, the Supreme Court voted 6-3 to give immunity to a sitting president for any presidential actions he or she may undertake. And it can only be held for treason or sedition or something like that if the actions were of a personal nature. But the problem is, as some people have discussed over it, is how do you differentiate between
that
presidential actions and actions deemed personal?
So when he had his little tete-a-tete with Stormy Daniels, was that as a president or as an individual?
Interesting. Despite the evidence, and some people saying, look, you could bring a stack of evidence saying this person has acted against the interests of the United States and they won't be able to touch him or her.
Long live the king.
Well, yes, and the Supreme Court is now the king's, what they call the king's hand. The people who put them in a position. So the Americans always touted that their nation is a land where everyone is equal before the law. That's just gone out the door.
That's gone out the door some years ago.
But now it's official. It's official now. Because some people said, presidents don't need this, consideration.
Impediment.
depending on context. Because, look, Truman, he signed off on giving permission for the nuclear bombs to be dropped in Japan. Also, presidents don't need this extra
Oh, Bay
of Pigs. Bay of Pigs.
Bay of Pigs, yeah.
Off the coast of Vietnam, the pretext of...
the war.
War, Viet Cong sending naval...
Yeah, it was a lie, wasn't it?
So they don't need this.
They should have got Stormy Daniels' opinion on that.
Yeah.
She probably said that.
Trump, I think he was a candidate, was it? He probably might have been one.
But Becker's belief that they still think themselves as the land of the free and the free world and democracy, and there's another flawed democracy.
Not all Americans, because do you realise one of them doesn't even know that he's in America, and that's a presidential candidate.
I noticed you mentioned in Biden, I noticed the difference after that terrible debate last week, and he got he found the energy and the acumen, mental acumen, to participate in a rally. And
let me think. Would it be some sort of dragon at the point of a needle?
He seemed to be wired.
Something starts with V.
He seemed to be wired.
That's what I thought. And I wonder if there are, I believe there are, I don't know.
There are medications that can
spark
boost
you
up your mental acuity.
They used to do it. I think they still do it.
You're
illegally
thinking of Viagra. That wasn't mentioned in the speculation that was rife.
Yeah. Well, they used to do truck drivers and that used to be given, drugs to keep them awake.
Benzedrine.
Methamphetamine.
Methamphetamine keeps you alert and awake, I believe.
Australian truck drivers,
In the military have used it in the past. They keep soldiers up and alert and fired up.
Yes, and you just had that feeling that Biden was so poor in the debate. Then he goes to the after one.
And
it's the same person.
And it's only a matter of a few hours between the two.
And maybe when they put the drug in, it took a while to take effect. Mistimed.
Because
it was like a spark at the after function.
Because he's almost burning.
Yeah.
Because one of the accusations why he performed so poorly was information overload by his advisors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is the classic throw someone underneath the bus. It wasn't my fault. It was my advisors.
Yeah.
But, I remember seeing him on that stage, and he got worse and worse. He just seemed to lose where he was.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and it was embarrassing for him and embarrassing for the country.
Well, I'd say Trump was busy telling fibs on the other side. Yeah. And Biden,
they would be checked. Yeah.
And Biden wasn't exactly all truthful either.
No,
just what an embarrassment. I feel embarrassed and I'm not an American.
Yeah. But he went back off. He's still campaigning. So now they're all saying, "Oh, he's up for it, and he's got the stamina for it." Because the presidential campaign is pretty exhausting. The rallies you've got to go to, and the amount of flannel you have to come out with. You know,
he probably just limit those. But Mrs. Disney, one of the heiresses to the Disney fortune, has stopped giving, is suspended her donations to the Democrats until Biden goes. She said he shouldn't. We've got too much to lose if Biden stays in power.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about this. It's not so much the age is the problem, it's his mental acuity.
The cognitive function,
shouldn't he?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But between the two, it should be his mental acuity that should be cognitive.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. It's time for another generation to come through.
Because let's face it, it's not even if he had the mental acumen, etc., which he may at times spark, it's like a light bulb comes on and off, right?
They must have to keep adjusting the spark in place.
It's quite dim.
Yeah, but sometimes it's just... all of that era, Nancy Pelosi, Schumacher, McConnell, all them, they're all of the Cold War era.
Yeah.
Hello, what is America trying to still kill Russians, etc.? You know, they're still all locked up into previous generations.
Well, that's how the country's organised. They need an external enemy to justify spending money or taxpayers' money. Arms.
And you just like to think that even if Kamala Harris, which I don't just inspire me, but at least she's a different generation, and you think, America, you know, it is a powerful country. It's got all these problems, but it's the richest country and it's the most powerful country in the world. And they've got these two guys so-called at the top that there's a scrap over. And they had like Jill Stein, she's not young either, but she's not as old as those two. But they've got alternatives. But American mainstream don't even see them on TV.
No.
They're not allowed to get into the debates with them or anything else, you know. So very poor options.
So
for
changes
America.
Ain't going to come if Biden dies in office.
Or
dies before he gets to office.
Yeah, well, let's face it, if she stays the vice president, she automatically becomes president for that term.
For the rest of that term.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't see her being voted in for as a presidential candidate afterwards.
No.
She's not particularly popular.
Well, yeah, we don't know because you don't see a lot of her from over here.
And whenever you do see her, you think, no, because she's so pro-Israeli, it's not funny.
Well, she got, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So she's not.
But they need another generation of people to come through.
And even if she's younger, but right. At the end of the day,
the ideology behind the person.
The machine doesn't want to take a risk with any loose cannons. So she'll be seen as a safe bet from both parties in the end of it. It'll grizzle the Republicans, but they're such a uniparty.
She's part of the establishment.
The establishment, all they're worried about is succession. Heaven forbid. Anyone should have fairness or actually mind her own business and look after her own. You know, that's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah. So what happens if, and we know how old Biden is, if he carks it between now and the...
Before the election.
Yeah. What happens then? What's their candidate option?
It'll have to be... I would have thought it would be Kamala Harris.
Because he dies 2 weeks out from the election.
Yeah.
Is it time to have another candidate?
And it could happen. I'm not wishing him dead, but...
No.
It's possible, given his age, yeah.
So she'd be number two. She would surely become number one.
I don't know how that works.
Since
you're retired, Mick.
Yeah.
You can look that up this week and tell us for next week. President Biden.
Biden's an endorsed candidate.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the backup plan if he dies?
We know what would happen if he's president. Camilla, the vice president, takes over.
Yeah.
But if he hasn't been elected.
He's the nominee, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, they haven't officially nominated.
No, the convention's got to happen.
But I mean, logic would say that, well, if he's dead, if he's carped it, you're going to have to look somewhere else, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to have to pick
somebody.
They're allowed to have an emergency candidate because that's basically what you're saying.
You think they would have to, surely.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the whole thing would just grind to a halt. Oh, we can't have an election, our candidate died, so we're not going to have a presidential
election. Well, you could, because...
We can't have a presidential election because our candidate died.
But if you look at what happens here, we've had people who stand and then they die, they don't take the name off the ticket. They've gone away. Or they've lost their support. We saw that in England, they withdrew some supports from some
But logic was telling you, if your preferred candidate has slipped a mortal coil, you haven't got much. You can't vote a corpse into power.
But they're still doing history. Craig might know this.
Officially, they could vote a corpse into power.
They have somewhere. They've voted somewhere
really?
In history.
It was a joke. Really?
Yeah.
They wheeled in this dead pope.
And he
won.
Apparently he did. I think that's what the story was.
So there you are. It can happen.
He was a dead runner.
So you can, because your name's still got in, and you
could be a bit. Taking that to extremes, like the day after inauguration, do you swear?
No, that's what string's for. The person at the back sitting behind.
Or hire a very good ventriloquist to impersonate. And then you put him into the White House, and the president, his first cabinet meeting.
There was a day after
he's dead. We've got a vice president now.
Complaining the president's starting to smell.
Well, the White House smells anyway.
There was one.
I thought you were joking that someone actually got voted in when they were dead.
I'm sure it was a pun.
And then somewhere else, there was some other political thing.
You made my day, you guys.
There was a person called William Harrison who was voted in as president in the 1840s or 1830s. Yeah.
Right.
And he gave us long winded. Inauguration speech in the rain, and 6 weeks later he
died. Yeah. But at least he made it, but to be voted
as president as a corpse. Logic would tell you, well, yes, we hoped that Biden would be our nominated candidate, but unfortunately he slipped the mortal coil. So
But
you're going to have to choose someone.
Going on from that, rather than he slipped the mortal coil, what happened if he is declared...
Officially dead?
No, officially compos mentis, his brain has died. Like, they say he's not capable of doing the job. Because they have to do these...
There must be provisions in the... I don't know what the legislation regarding the president. There must be...
They have to have a warrant of fitness,
certain conditions,
don't
they? Yeah. If he's unable to execute the duties of his office, then he's expected to stand down or be put down, no, placed down.
Because he used to try and run across the stage, remember, to show proof to the American
people. That's embarrassing
too.
And he tripped up the stairs, up the stairs.
Many times.
Or fall off a bike.
Silly twit.
And he won't wear glasses. You can see him peering at the cue card.
So he's saying...
Why did he just wear glasses?
The question reads... I can't read it.
Yeah. Can we just go on to a couple of more things?
Just a little.
I've got a positive.
You've got a positive. I thought that was a positive.
Garden birds. The garden bird survey. It's on this week. I've done mine. I did one at home and I did one down in my local park where I volunteer. And it was cool. The one I did on yesterday before they started watching the UK elections was, it was a nice frosty morning yesterday. It was cold.
Damn cold.
But I took a chair down and a cushion. And,
did you take a thermos?
No.
You should have taken the thermos.
Yeah, I could have. But then I would have had to get you to carry everything for me.
Well, you could have rung me. You could have said, Matt, can he carry me to a thermos?
Then I would have looked sort of, yeah. But anyway, anyone who wants to do it, this is really, it's really good informative for the scientists of the country to know what our bird life is doing. So just go to New Zealand Garden Bird Survey. Still time. Your kids can do it. You just, 1 hour, and you can sit at home. And you just count what you see and what maximum number of birds at one time. But it's pretty easy. And it's not, it's citizen science. It's not, you know.
It gives an indication. Though.
Good for the kids at school holidays and yourselves, you know, get them all out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I did see a posting by John Minto in his wax eyes.
Yeah. I said to him.
Was that a survey?
I said to him, make sure you do your survey, you know. So, yeah, but my Hillcrest Library put up a little display. About doing the Hillcrest survey, because a lot of people, like anything, it's actually informing people to know there's something to do. And it's quite good in the school holidays for, you know.
Well, it's all part of the picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
The birds make a difference.
Yeah, one more.
Well, that's me. Done.
We've got the rally again this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, there's one in Garden Place at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock for Palestine.
Oh, yeah.
And also if you
for those who can't get there, we can...
There's one at Cambridge now. They do one from Cambridge from 11 till 12.
Well, we can meet our original spot on the corner of Wairere and Cambridge Road.
Yeah, we'll go and wave some flags if it's not too cold. Well, we'll be there anyway, but, yeah. Dress up well. But, yeah, it's that poor... That's still going on, and I say it's just... it's just a tragedy that the West just doesn't want to do anything about it, you know.
Stoll won't do anything about it.
No, he's loaded his...
he was going to recognise the state of Palestine, but apparently I've heard since he's backed off from that.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of pressure on him too.
But
go away.
Because he's got that strong Zionist lobby within his party.
And his marriage. And his wife also... Pro-Israel?
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, see you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.